At Midway USA, we know the AR-15 is one of the most popular rifles in modern American history. Known for its modularity and widespread use, it's often considered essential to any gun collection. The essential things you need to run an AR-15 are usually always in stock during shortages, things like magazines and 5.56 ammo. Whether you're looking to buy a new AR-15 or buy parts for your modern sporting rifle, log on and for just about everything for the outdoors, shop MidwayUSA.com. Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
Welcome back for another OG Show Live. Mr. Randall, how you doing?
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Reel Down.
Welcome back to another episode of Bass Fishing for News.
Hi, boys and girls. Welcome to, once again, Bass Kayak Appears.
Brother! This is the final cast.
Another segment of Chasing the Tide, your saltwater connection on the Paladin.
Welcome back, everyone. Another episode of Feather and Fur, your host, Brad.
Welcome back to the Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, Crystal.
Hey, welcome back to Off the Water.
Can you hear with Adventures of Outdoor Woman Podcast?
Hey, guys. Welcome to the Rusty Hook Kayak Fishing Podcast.
We're brought to you by Pelican, built tough for all situations. Go to pelican.com. Eastport Marina on the beautiful shores of Dale Hollow Lake. For all your lodging, kayaking, go to eastport.info. Yak Gadget. For all your fine kayak fishing accessory needs, go to yakgadget.com. What's going on, Facebook Live, YouTube, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen of the podcast platforms? Welcome. Welcome. I want to first say I apologize. As somebody, or some of you may have seen earlier, I had scheduled Romel. Jay had scheduled Jameson. Jay had told me he scheduled Jameson. And it went in this ear and out the other. So we got Jameson Redding in the house tonight. Tomorrow night, I'm going to do one with Romel on the new NK300. But tonight, we're going to talk Jackson Kayak Coosa X. Randall, how are you, sir?
I am fine, Mr. Schiller. How are you?
I took full responsibility for it.
You didn't have to, man. Like I said, it's like, you know... I don't even know. I thought I did, but I mean, whatever.
I'm pretty sure you did. And, you know, in the midst of the new gig starting this week and many balls up in the air, you know, I should
have got with you earlier just to make sure, man.
I'm taking full responsibility. So there you go. You're in the clear, my man. Okay. You owe me one.
Yeah, it's funny, like the only people that knew that happened is us, so
yeah,
now everybody knows.
Roy, welcome the Jackson Coosa X, or are they calling it the 10? I'm pretty sure it's the X, right?
I think probably,
should have asked Jameson. He's shaking his head.
It's not the 10, it's an X.
It's an X.
I mean, even if it was a 10, it's an X, because I said so what.
love it. Good stuff, man. Just a quick reminder, everybody listening on the podcast platforms, most of the crew is going on break after the 10th. The last episode will be Dustin Nichols with Chasing the Tide. He'll be the last episode. I know me and Jay are going to do a couple throughout that break, so we'll be here Thursday nights pumping out some good stuff for you guys. But just a quick reminder, I don't want everybody to think, oh my God, where did Paddle and Finn go? We're still here. Everybody gets a break. So and everybody will be back. I believe it's January 9th, that Monday, and it'll kick off with the Bass Fishing for Noobs show. So, Gene Wilson, where have you been all my life? I miss you. I miss you.
What's up, Gene?
Hope you're doing well, my darling. But let's get to the man of the hour. Let's get Mr. Redding in the house. Jameson, welcome back, sir.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. We were talking about your beard before this started. You didn't get to blow dry it. So
I did not. This is straight out of the shower, just combed, no blow drying.
Jameson's like, I'm here to talk about a kayak, not my beard.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, whatever you guys want to talk. And I want to say, Brian, Jay, when he texted me about this, he said Friday the first.
The first time.
So,
yes.
Could be that you could throw him a little bit under the bus because I don't know if he does.
So thanks for coming on, Jameson. We'll see you later. That's the show, everybody.
Hey, I will still claim responsibility because I know he had told me, I think it was last week. He was like, hey, we got Jameson next week. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And I, like I said, started a new gig this week. And so I had a lot of balls up in the air. But we're good. You're here. We're going to talk the new Jackson Kusa X, correct? Not the 10, the X.
That's right, the X.
So
I can even get into that. You know, the name, why it's the X is we really went to our team with this design. And so we kind of thought, well, what can we call this boat? Do we come up with a completely new name and get away from the Kusa name altogether? Or do we stick with it? And the Kusa line is just so Jackson. I mean, it was the first fishing kayak we did.
Sure.
And it's just got so much history just in kayak fishing in general, but especially with river fishing kayaks. And so we wanted to keep that name, but we, you know, the X is kind of like, what does this boat do? Well, it helps you get to places that are hard to get to. And that there's, you know, kind of like a treasure map. You've got this X that marks the spot that you want to get to. And this is what allows you to get to, but also it's where you make your mark. It's where you sign your signature. Usually, you know, you've got an X and sign at the X. And this is a true, and it says on the logo, it's a team signature series watercraft. And what that means is it wasn't, nothing about this boat was one person or two people or even three people. I mean, it was a group effort from a lot of team paddlers. Jean is in the chat. She's one of our team paddlers. So we compiled information and stuff from a lot of our team. And then we had our R&D team who put their heads together to try to deliver on what those asks were. And so that's kind of where the X came from. It was like, you know, this is no one person's thing. This is like, you know, everybody's got a little bit of skin in the game. And so that's where the name came from anyway. That's why it's called the X.
No, that's cool, man. I like that. You know, the X marks the spot and the whole signature, you know, it's cool. Because I was curious because I was like, well, they haven't had 10 versions of the Kusa, maybe four, right, or something around there. Yeah. But, you know, it's cool to see you guys continuing to see the evolution of your models, so to speak. Super cool. Super cool. But I did want to point out that Jean Wilson isn't a paddler. She's just a big bass catching machine.
It's just true story. Yeah. So.
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, she's not even on the same level as us, dude. She's
no.
Like we're here, Jameson's probably here.
Yeah,
Gene Wilson is.
Oh, I remember when she caught like that. That was it, a 27 or 27 and a half.
And yeah,
I was like, "Is that real?" I was like, "That doesn't look real. Is that real?"
When you go hang out with Gene, especially on her river there that she fishes a lot, and you're paddling along, and she's just pointing things out. You know, like there's a cool tree, and there's a bird. There's where I caught my 13 pounder. There's where I caught my 14 pounder. Yeah. Got the 15 right there. You're like, okay, I don't want to hang out.
Yeah, I'm done. I'm done. Take me back to the truck.
Like I thought this was a nice 3 pounder. I don't know about you guys, but I'm pretty happy.
Nice. Well, getting back to the boat. The one thing I was thinking about on the way home tonight, I was like, did you guys do a whole new mold for this boat, or did you just kind of modify the existing boat and make changes to it? I mean, I've looked at a few photos and I was curious, like hull design, things like that.
It's got a lot of the same, especially from the parting line down to the lower half. It's got a lot of the same things that make it very Coosa-like in the sense that it has the high-volume bow. It's got rocker, meaning that the boat kind of looks like a banana when it's sitting on the floor. And those things are very Coosa, but this is a brand new mold from the ground up because there were things about the Coosa, original Coosa, and the Coosa HD that the team both liked and disliked. And so sure. This was the overall ask was something that delivered a more maneuverable platform than the HD, which would be more similar to the original Coosa, but with the stability and modern rigging features, wide open deck space, and just a larger capacity in general for gear and kayak anglers like myself continue to get bigger, it seems like. So every year I weigh more than I did the year before, apparently. It was just a combination of like, we want the boat to be, you know, a little different in this way than what we currently have. And so putting all that together, it was a completely new whole shape design, but it did carry over some of the features or some of the attributes from the older Coosa line, from the original Coosa and the Coosa HD.
Yeah, right on. Roy is in the chat and he was asking what the weight capacity is. So I got the specs pulled up on the screen. Boat's 11'8", 36 inches wide, 425 pound capacity, and the weight of the boat is 98 pounds. Is that with the seat or without the seat?
Because that's with everything. So everything that comes on the boat, it's got a few accessories that come with it. That's the seat frame and the sliders that can come out. So that alone can shed, you know, 10 or 12 pounds off the boat by pulling that out. And that capacity at 425. So Chris Funk did a really cool video. If you guys look him up on YouTube, I think it's Feral One Chris Funk, yep. The 401 Chris Funk. But did a video where he put sandbags in it, and he actually went up to 520 something pounds and was still able to paddle it and maneuver it. And we always want to be conservative when we put those capacities. So that's what we feel comfortable that you could put in the boat and it still performs safely out on the water. It doesn't include the weight of the boat. So that's above and beyond, you know, 425 extra pounds can go on that boat. If you distribute it properly and still actually function really well.
That's cool. I'm dropping the link to Chris's video in the chat for you guys to go and watch later on. It'll be saved there. And then if you guys are listening on the podcast platforms, I'll drop that down in the show notes as well. Make sure you subscribe to our man, Chris Funk, as well. He's always putting out some cool content. Yeah, for sure, man. So that's cool. I mean, it's kind of from the top view, it's almost got like, I like the aspect that you guys got a lot of team feedback on this boat. Cause I think that's cool when you involve the whole fishing team in a project like that. I know a few other companies in the market do the same thing, and, you know, it's pretty cool to see, you know, what the guys come up with all those heads being put together, like, hey, what's good, what's bad, you know, and piecemealing that boat together. Was there some things that may have got suggested that kind of had to be left out, or if there was one thing that had to be left out and now looking back, you kind of wish it got mixed into the boat. Is there something that comes into mind?
Nothing like that really comes into mind as far as anything. I think someone asked me kind of a similar question the other day. What were the bad ideas, you know?
Sure.
And I really don't think that we missed anything. Honestly, there's a lot of things, you know, that you put down. You know, you'd love the boat to weigh 50 pounds and be able to still do everything else that you have on the list. You'd love the boat to cost $800 and still be able to do everything else. So I'd say if anything, you know, we wish we could make lighter boats and cheaper boats, but at the end of the day, to deliver on the whole performance and deliver on the feature set that we really wanted to have in this boat, I think we really nailed it. And it's a very good balance and compromise of what everything the team said. And the cool thing about having a team, and we've done this now, we did it with the NAR, we did it with this boat, we're doing it with future projects. But what's really cool about it is when you have two or three people and you ask them separately, we had the group chat and everything, but we also kind of had everybody list their wants in order of importance without being able to really talk to each other. Because sometimes when you do that, you get influenced, right? When you're in a room with people and someone says something, you're like, yeah, I didn't think about that, but I do kind of want that. And then is that your want or is that their want? But when you hear three or four people give you the same thing, it's like, okay, that's something that we should really put down on paper and try to incorporate in this boat. When we walk through it, I'll kind of point out those particular things, but I don't think, I can't think of anything specifically that anyone wanted that we weren't able to really, deliver on. When looking back at the feature set, I mean, it really nailed a whole lot of spots. There's still not a lot of them out there. Unfortunately, everybody that had their hands on this design still hasn't gotten the chance to paddle it yet. So I'm excited to see every time one of those people gets to get in the boat, and really feel, the performance and see the deck layout and the feature set and how it checks those boxes that they had listed, is a very fulfilling moment for me as the brand manager, because I'm the one trying to connect all those pieces, right? Like take that information and then feed it to R&D and kind of help them and stay there and see how things get laid out. And so to see then to be able to take that boat as its finished product to someone like Chris or Gene and get them in it, to see them kind of light up and go, yes, this is what we wanted. And you guys got it, you nailed it. And so that's been a really cool part of this whole process for me.
No, that's super cool, man. Like when I first look at it, it almost looks like the Coosa and the Liska had a baby.
It's funny you say that. That was one of the main things that people, they loved actually the sort of the layout of the Liska, the tank well of the Liska and the wide openness and simplicity that the Liska offered. So that is a lot of the reason it looks the way it does.
Yeah. I mean, I remember, back when I was floating in a Coosa and a Liska, like the nicest thing about the Liska was that big wide open tank well. Whereas like in the Coosa, it was just really tight. You sometimes struggle to get your black pack in there and, things like that. So having that wide open tank well, man, is super slick. I really, really like that.
I mean, is this going to make me want to get rid of my Liska?
Knives, machetes, saws, and shears. Multi-tools, shovels, swords, axes, spears, hatchets, and tomahawks. If it cuts, snips, slices, or chops, Midway USA has it. Find great gift ideas in our huge selection of pocket knives and other everyday carry folding knives. Make a statement or create a family legacy with one of our top-of-the-line hunting knives. We've got a great selection of manual and electric sharpeners, too. For just about everything for the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com. Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
I
really like my Liska.
Yeah, I think it depends on what you're doing. I mean, the Liska is a little lighter, a little simpler. But if you're running moving water, if you want to get really shallow, one of the things that I think is really stands out about this boat when we get into the cockpit area, the deck layout, you'll see some geometry in the floor, and it makes this boat super rigid to stand on, and you don't have a lot of flex at all in the floor, really no flex in the floor. And that was one of the things with the Liska, over time, standing in the same area over time, you eventually get a little bit of flex there, which is pretty normal when you're talking about plastic boats.
Yeah.
That was one of the things we attacked with this boat, was to try to get that stiffness in the deck area and really make a rigid platform to stand and move around on, and to make it drain very quickly if you were to be in whitewater or, you know, take waves over the bow or over the side. A lot of things there going on that I think are probably improvements overall to the line. And as we look at future boats, you'll see a lot of the same technology or things that we're doing, like the tri-track and that floor geometry, start to become kind of a staple for the kayak.
Yeah, right on, dude. Is that got, am I counting this right? Is there 8 scuppers? Because there's 2 under the front of the seat, 2 behind, 1 in the bow and the stern, and then 2 up by the pedals, huh?
So yeah, there's so you got the 3 there in the cockpit. There's a transducer scupper directly center under the seat.
Oh, okay. So
that's 4, and then you got 5, 6. There's 2 behind the seat, and then
7, 8. So 9.
7, 8, 9. Yeah, 9 total.
Oh wow, yeah. I bet that. Yeah,
it dumps water really fast. Those channels are pretty deep as well, so the water's going to run there. It's a very dry boat, and even with that 525 pounds that Chris put in it. You still didn't even have water coming in the scuppers at that point.
Wow.
Kind of right at the top of the scupper, not in the channel, unless you leaned one direction or the other. But yeah, with a normal kayak fishing load of, I'm 230, and I take the 16 by 16 black pack loaded down, it's not even close to, you know, having water in the floor of the boat anywhere.
That's cool, dude. That's super cool. Well, let's start up front, man.
Yeah.
Come on, move over.
Runner, really high end show here.
it just didn't want to move over. I'll get it.
It was doing so well, and then it just stopped.
I know.
I know.
That's what you get for using an Apple.
Oh boy.
Oh, easy now.
Here we go. Now you're gonna start wars. Just start with the handle, Jameson. I'll get it to pull back up here.
Yeah. So I mean, as you get it pulled up there, I mean, I'll talk about the hull shape a little bit more. You know, the reason behind that Kusa, that obviously Kusa look, that high volume kind of bulbous higher bow shape, is for whitewater. I mean, the boat is designed from the ground up to be a river fishing kayak. And sometimes you encounter, you know, whitewater, and you got to go through it, and you got waves or whatever. One of the things about some of the other boats like the Liska, which doesn't have a lot of rocker or as much volume, while it's still a great river boat, if you're getting into bigger whitewater, it's going to punch through a wave, right? The water's going to like come up on the bow or into the cockpit area and then have to dump out. It's usually not a problem unless you're in a bigger wave, but having this volume forward in the front of the boat and having the rocker, you know, where the bow is kind of raised up, what that does is it allows the boat to pop up on top of those waves and over them instead of trying to dive or punch through them. Because it's essentially, that's when you're going to get like unstable, right? Like when you dive under the water and then you got an extra 150 pounds of water sitting on the deck of your boat, that's when things are going to go downhill. So this allowing to pop up and kind of ride on top of those waves and not be diving and punching through them is what is a key element. That rocker also allows the boat to be like super maneuverable. So when you need to, you know, zigzag through a rock garden in the river, and you've got boulders on one side and tree limbs down on the other side and everything else, and you're trying to fight a fish and you need to turn the boat quickly, it just allows for, you know, less wetted surface on the bottom, so you can spin the boat, you know, even though it's 11 foot 8 inches, it's still going to spin like a much shorter boat would, and be able to turn and do it quickly, so you can, you know, make those changes as you need to in current and in moving water around obstacles. So those are some of the really key features to that hull shape, and it looks very different than a lot of kayaks that are on the market, but there's a reason. And if you look at our whitewater lineup, some of the creek running, river running style boats are going to have that higher volume in the front to be able to punch through those rapids and keep you on top of the water instead of in the water. So
sure. So with it being shorter, because the old Kusa was 12 and a half, wasn't it? Or was it?
The HD was, I wish I had the specs now, because I'm going to put it.
12 one?
I think it was under 12. All three of them have been under 12. Really? The original one, I think, okay. was like 11.
Okay.
I'll pull it up while we're talking.
Well, with you mentioning like maneuverability and stuff, how well does it track if you're just, you know, paddling across a lake or something like that? Like, how's it tracking on it?
This is the really kind of weird thing about this boat. I was looking here for the specs, but I'll let one of you guys look for that. Maybe
I'll find it. I'll find it.
Chris did a very good side by side comparison video too. So you dropped his link already, but between it and the HD. But the interesting thing about it is, you know, one of the asks was that it had a little more maneuverability than the HD. It was kind of like this, in our opinion, as a team, that the Coosa came out and it was almost too nimble and not very good when you got to those like flat sections of a river that you had to like cover some ground. You had a headwind or whatever. Plus, I'm a bigger guy, and that's a small boat, which is great when I'm like creek fishing, but you know, I could stand in it. It's also the only Jackson kayak that I've ever flipped, you know, in a normal fishing situation.
Yeah, because that one didn't take much to
no, to and it, but I could stand in it, and, you know, yeah. at the same time, like it would also like yep. reaching for something, it would yep. just, you know, be open.
Oh, I was tipped in mine before. I was like, well,
yeah,
you know,
that's the only one. I go under a tree, inevitably have rods sticking up, yep. and you know, end up upside down. I only did it twice, but it was always the Coosa.
So the Coosa HD is 12.
Okay, you're right. Yeah, 12.6. So the original Coosa was like 11 and some change. So yeah, that was the point there, was to try to get a boat almost kind of in between the two.
Sure.
In the sense of maneuverability. But I would say closer to Coosa HD than Coosa, but again, more maneuverable and more river specific in hull shape. Than the Coosa HD. But the weird thing is, because it sits so high on the water and has such a high volume, it's very easy to get up to speed. And once you have it up to speed, it glides very well. So if you take some time and learn, you know, how to paddle properly, it actually tracks really well, especially if you're putting the blade in close to the side of the boat, in what we call like a high angle blade or a high angle paddle stroke. So instead of reaching out wide, if you reach out wide, you want it to turn, you do a sweeping stroke from bow to stern out wide, it's going to turn. But if you put the blade in close to it and you know, have a nice consistent paddle stroke, the boat glides so well. And when you stop paddling, it just keeps gliding, and it nice. Doesn't want to, it doesn't like automatically start going one way or the other. That was another thing we wanted to accomplish with the HD. If you had wind or whatever, like it would weather vane or wind cock, as we call it, like it would want to turn and face into the wind, you know, when sure. you're sitting floating down the river. And one of the things we noticed about this boat so far is that it will turn perpendicular to the wind and just float that way. So it just seems to somehow, I don't know if it's because it sits higher on the water and has less like of the current kind of manipulating it or what, but it actually, once you get it going, it paddles really well. And when we had it out testing it, we had a Liska, we had a Bite, and a U-Pick, and the U-Pick's one of our longer paddling kayaks. And Chris was in the Coosa, and he was matching us stroke for stroke and having no issue keeping up with us. Nice. So it's pretty impressive. And I don't know, it's some kind of wizardry. I'm not going to pretend to know what Tony, our whole designer, did, and Nick Lewis, who worked on CAD with this boat. It's one of the first boats we've ever done in CAD for fishing kayak. Most of them have all just been hand shaped. This one was a kind of a mix between CAD and hand shaping. So yeah, whatever wizardry they did there, and to make this boat move the way it does is pretty impressive.
No, that's super cool, man. And it's cool to see you guys changing it up, right? Like, you know, it's with the design process and everything like that, man. It's really cool to see that evolution. Like I mentioned earlier, that you guys are taking and really hitting things head on, man. It's, and I mean, from everything I see, dude, this thing looks pretty dope. I'm just going to say that.
We're pretty proud of it, I will say. I mean, obviously I'm a little partial, but pretty proud.
Sure. Sure. So I believe I saw part of the walkthrough that Chris did on this boat, and or maybe it was a Facebook post that one of the guys put up, but you guys made it so you could store rods in that front hatch now, right?
Yeah, so some of the older, like the original Coosa, until the hatch design was kind of changed, it did get more cumbersome trying to get rods inside. And some people like to do that. They like to carry the rods down inside the boat, you know, for storage when they got in the back of the truck or whatever. So this has a very large front hatch. It's actually the exact same hatch profile that we have on the NAR, which is a almost 14-foot long boat. Nice. And it has a ton of volume up there. And it's tall. So the bow of the boat is tall, which allows you to be able to manipulate, you know, 8-foot rod, 7-foot rod, whatever, down in there. Now you got to do the whole thing where you're kind of bending it and going slow and, you know, hinging a little bit, but it's pretty easy to get it in and out. And we actually put a power pole down in it the other day too, just kind of testing that.
Oh, nice.
So if you want, if that's a feature that you're looking for, but I'll quickly, now that you have it kind of pulled up, just start there at the bow.
Sure.
With this one, again, just to kind of save as much weight as possible and keep that from sticking out, we went with the kind of, I'll say, old school or standard style handle versus the molded in handle that we have on some of our other models. We flattened that surface up there on the bow, which is something we did on the NAR as well. And not saying this is particularly a boat that you would get to motorize. However, like, I've had a lot of questions and comments from people that are looking at this boat to motorize it because of the volume and capacities and stuff. That flat area would allow you to rig a bow mounted trolling motor pretty easy with some through bolting and stuff.
Yeah.
And then we put track on each side there. And the real purpose for this was, a lot of people are using the anchor wizards and stuff like that now. And if you're fishing, if you're really fishing moving water, you know that you typically want to cast up river and bring your bait down river instead of the other way around. Right. So being able to anchor off the bow so that you can kind of face upriver, or even, you know, a lot of people will put in and paddle upriver to fish their way up to a dam or a ledge or something like that. And this allows you to be able to mount that anchor wizard. I guess, I don't remember what they call it, but that tube part that kind of allows your anchor to stow and drop down. Is that
the trolley or something like
that? Yeah, whatever that part of it is, will mount to the track there with the hardware that comes with the anchor wizard, the little T-nuts and screws. So you don't have to do any kind of drilling. And then we put some geometry there, and we have a pass-through kit that's just basically some heat shrink tubing type stuff that you can pass the anchor line through the inside of the bow. So you just minimize the amount of line that you have on top of the bow that could get caught in hooks, you know, and stuff. So
sure.
With that tubing kit, you can run, you know, your anchor line, mount your anchor wizard or your anchor line retainer, whatever it might be, to the track, and then run the line through the bow and come out, and then have your deployment system on that track up front. But it's also actually a pretty cool place to mount a camera, because it gets a little further away from you, so you don't have that like super zoomed in look. Some of the guys have been doing that as well. So just gives you a few more mounting options there. Like I said, large bow hatch. It's got the new paddle stager as far as like what the retention there. It's rubberized and UV protected. And then some security bars on each side in case you want to strap more gear down. We have a fish bag now that would fit there and stuff like that. So you just, you know, lots of versatility in the bow area.
Nice. So we got a question in regards to the bow mount motor. Andrew Watson on YouTube says he's got an XI3 that he was going to mount on his 2016 Coosa HD. Tricky. How flat is the bow on the new, and would quick release plate interfere with the bow hatch? And will the inline anchor feature be ready around May?
The inline anchor feature is ready and shipping now. So you can actually order that accessory kit with the boat now, and dealers should actually be starting to carry those as well. And basically that comes with a drill bit that's the right size and a piece of tubing, two pieces of tubing, one for each side. And if you've ever installed a rudder on a kayak or anything like that, but it's pretty simple. You drill a couple holes, run the tubing kit, mount the end, and it keeps it from sucking back inside the boat. So that's pretty simple and straightforward. And we have an instructional video being edited to show you how to do that. I believe the quick release plate is going to work really well there. I have not mounted it on there yet. I have mine mounted on my NAR right now, but it's a pretty significantly large area up front that I believe you'll be able to bolt that quick release plate. You may have to configure how that plate is mounted to the actual motor, because sometimes you have to reverse it in order to get it, you know, far enough forward so that it doesn't interfere with the bow hatch. So I'll try to do some looking at that and get you guys a better answer tomorrow, because I have one that I haven't opened yet, one of the quick release plates that I haven't opened yet. So I might be able to take a look and see what that looks like on the boat in the morning.
Right on. I noticed too, you guys put in like a drain channel coming off the side of each corner of the hatch. That's slick too, for when you do take a little water over the bow, you know?
Yeah, it's something from the NAR. So like I said, it's the exact same geometry, hatch geometry that we had on the NAR. When you open the hatch, you have a very tall kind of hatch rim that goes around. So the water would have to like go in, go up a wall, and then go around and back down. So it really takes you have to be upside down essentially for water to actually start to leak in the hatch. And then that drain trough that goes all the way around has a place to exit, and it's not dumping that water into the cockpit area too. So it just helps shed that water away very quickly and keep it away from that cockpit rim, which is going to allow that bow to stay super dry.
Nice. Well, like moving back to the cockpit, the one thing I was just like, kind of like, ooh, what did they do here? What was the reasoning for the foot pegs to be more centered in the boat?
So this was one of those things where we had an ask that multiple people listed. And the ask was they wanted the rod storage to be inside the kayak, not... Yep. Like the original Coosa, or the Coosa HD had the rod tusk or, you know, rod tip protectors on the outside, you know. And so when you strapped your rods down, the rod was essentially on the outside of the boat, at least for part of it, and then kind of on top of the boat in the back area where the reel would be. Same thing with the big rig. You know, we had the troughs on the outside. Well, the NAR and the new seat system, we were able to bring that rod storage inside, and everybody really liked that feature because it protects your rods if you hit, you know, a rock or an exposed limb or something. You're not snagging reels, and it allows you to get those rods horizontal versus vertical, sticking up when you're going under, you know, overhanging trees and whatnot. But that presented a challenge. How do you have foot pegs where they normally would go if your rods need to go there? So we played around with a few different ideas. And one of them was, if you guys remember the Mayfly, we had kind of a center block brace style contraption in the center of the Mayfly. But the team almost unanimously said, we always take that thing out. We don't want it. So then we're like scratching our heads, like in a riverboat to paddle correctly, it's really good to be able to brace and have your foot on something, you know, and to give yourself a little bit of bracing to engage your core and be able to paddle. So we played around with a few different designs, and Brad Sisko, our kind of our head of R&D, drew up a design for these foot pegs, and we 3D printed them and we put them on a boat and went out and tried them. And surprisingly, it was like, hey, this works. And you can adjust them. You can also remove them completely very easily. And because we have the tri-track on both sides, if you're just like, I need my foot pegs to be on the side of the boat, we make a track mounted foot peg that comes on the U-pick. And so you could actually still have just a standard kind of foot peg on the sides mounted to the tri-track. But this just gives you the ability to have that foot bracing and not interfere with that rod storage is the reason behind these kind of different looking foot pegs here in the center.
I was just gonna pull this up real quick because I found a picture of the Mayfly, because I know exactly what you're talking about. It's like, it seems like every boat has something that guys are just like, yeah, I'm not even gonna use this, and they pull it out. And I distinctly remember that being one of the things, you know, the mayfly, everybody always
pulled. Some people loved it, you know, and they would find store their transducer cable inside it and mount
the
fish finder to it. But others would just, you know, hey, this is something I don't use. And that's kind of what where the idea started. And really the mayfly was kind of heading the direction of some of this because it did have two rod tubes more inside the boat than the Coosa did. So a lot of this is you know, where that's at.
No, I like it. If you guys can see, I kind of got it blown up. It's not very good, but there was that big blocky thing there. Whereas now with the Coosa X, you know, it's like that's way more streamlined. And like you said, you could take them in and out, which is super slick too, you know?
Yeah. And and if you put it comes with this kind of standard T-knob or whatever. If you switch it over to like a low profile T-knob from Yak Attack, there's actually nothing to catch a fly line. So that was one of the other things about it. We designed the foot peg to kind of be snag free. And allow stuff to slip off of it, line to slip off of it, not catch stuff. But those T-nuts, because they have a little bit of a gap between them and the floor, I would strongly, like, say, switch them out to a low-profile T-nut and there and on the seat sliders, and then you would have nothing to snag fly line. It would be, you know, pretty easy.
Midway USA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high-quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping, MidwayUSA.com. The 1911 is one of the most iconic firearms in history. Designed by John Browning, the 1911 was the standard issue sidearm of the U.S. military from 1911 to 1985. While Colt produced the original, almost every major firearm company has produced its own version. It's wildly revered for its reliability, crisp trigger, and is still a favorite for all types of shooters. Whether you're looking to buy or build a 1911 and just about everything for guns, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
Sure. No, that's cool, man. I dig that. And it makes sense, right? Like with the internal rod storage and stuff. So can you just store four rods internally, or is it one of those situations where you can maybe double up a rod in each rod tube? And,
you know, we have done that actually. So as you move back in the cockpit area, you can see mounted there is kind of the second half of that rod storage, the rod rack that holds the rod butts. And we developed that part, that piece for the NAR. And the NAR has three tubes on each side, so that has three places. But, you know, that's a pretty expensive tool and took a lot of development time. So we're like, well, we'll use it on the Coosa, even though the Coosa only has two tubes. So the first time we took it out, that's what I was doing. I was putting two in one and one in the other, especially if you use like a rod sock, then they don't get tangled up at all, and it works really easily. So, you know, that's kind of how it is. Is four is super easy. You know, three is doable. I mean, so far as four total. So six is doable. Eight is doable. Like, it can be done. You know, there's ways to keep things from tangling better. But you have basically three rod butt retainers on each side there with that mount, and then you have two tubes on each side. So. The reason for two versus three is just the height there didn't allow for the third tube. So we had to stick with the two.
Nice. And for that tri-track is what you're calling it, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So for somebody that's not familiar with that, you know, what does that all entail? Cause I think that's a super cool option that, you guys pumped out.
Yeah, this came out, so it's kind of a funny story there. We, again, R&D team does a great job, and they had the idea for a three-sided track. And we launched it actually on the Take 2, which is our – sorry, I think my daughter's yelling in the background.
No worries, man. But,
Yeah, we had originally launched that on the take two, is kind of the first test run in some pretty short sections. I think it was like 22 inches or whatever sections on each side. But essentially the idea was, you know, especially in a boat where you're, if you're going to motorize it or you're going to, you know, a pedal drive kayak, you can, everything you want to be kind of at your fingertips, right? When you're paddling, you usually want things a little further forward out of your paddle stroke or a little further back out of your paddle stroke. But essentially there's like usually one spot somewhere on the track where everything ends up, like your cup holder. You know, if you're motorizing, you got your throttle control, yeah. You're trying to mount your rods there, your fish finder, whatever, you know, all that stuff is like all in this little small space. So the idea with the three-sided track was, well, why couldn't you just mount all that stuff in the same space and be able to really utilize it? So then I kind of came in. Hold on a second.
Jameson's got an angry daughter. I like it. I like it. No, it's cool, man. That tri-track, you know, like I got something similar that's a prototype right now, but it's nice because I can slide stuff around, have something mounted to the side, hanging off the edge of the boat, like a camera arm, things like that. Have my throttle mounted up top and, you know, something mounted on the inner side as well. But not only that, but it, you know, it's gives you three times the mounting space. You know, instead of having everything crunched up on a small gear track, now you can kind of spread things out. And that's a nice thing I like about it, man, from it going bow or, you know, right behind the hatch all the way back to, you know, basically where your butt's going to be in the seat almost. Yeah.
And when we did the NAR, that was kind of the thing. You know, the idea was never to really have more than a, you know, 22, 23 inch, 2 foot section, right? But when we were looking at the NAR, that's kind of what, when I came in and I think I gave them a pretty hard time in R&D. I was like, I think it needs to be the whole length of the boat, like the whole cockpit. And they're like, what? And I said, also, I think it should bend to match the curvature of the boat. And then that was another big, like, you're out of your mind. Like, we can't do that. And I remember taking a piece of track and going over to a pipe rack and actually bending it to kind of, like, yeah, we can. Why? Look, I just did it, you know, and the T-bolt won't slide. And it's like, yeah, it will, because it's not a very, you know, tight radius. It's not an elbow. So, yeah, there was a lot of back and forth there. And I don't think when they came up with the idea, they ever thought we'd be putting giant pieces of it on the boat. I think the NAR has almost 12 feet of tri-track on it.
Oh, geez.
This yeah, boat has, lot. I think there's 6 feet there, somewhere around 3 feet long. And then you got a section of almost 2 feet behind you. So there's probably 8 feet of track there as far as tri-track goes. But what we realize is that even more than that, you can actually run, you know, T-bolts, run lines for steering cables for your motor. You can run lines for raising and lowering your motors in the back. You can run your transducer cable down it and use things to kind of pin it in place on the inside of your track. So it just becomes like this, more to it than just mounting something, right? Like, it allows you to really manage your cockpit area, your fishing area, and dial it in for your needs. And so we also partnered with Yak Attack on that. They have the top loading geometry. They have a patent for that. And that was something we really wanted to be able to do, because I hate nothing more than when you have something mounted and then you got to remove it to get something else that's mounted, because you got to slide it all the way to the end or to the slot. Top loading geometry is so key. And so we partnered with the Yak Attack there to get that patented geometry in all three sides of the track, which just makes it really easy to adapt that or keep it as clean as you want. I mean, you can, mm-hmm. you can empty it or fill it up.
Totally agree, man. That track, I mean, how can you beat it? But I was going back thinking what you said about the NAR, 12 feet, you multiply that by three sides. I mean, you got 36 feet of gear track. It's just stupid. Ridiculous. But it's cool. I mean, that just gives you, the angler in that boat, way more rigging options, man. And let's be honest, like kayaks, that's what it's all about, you know, like just being able to rig up different ways for different situations, you know. it's super cool to be able to, you know, modify to, you know, your exact design without having to go to the local shop, getting an extra piece of track and then putting some screw holes in your boat and things like that. You know?
Yeah. Let me ask this. So the aluminum tracks that are just behind the seat, can they handle the boondocks?
So we have not officially tested the boat with the landing gear on it, as far as from a standpoint of, like, I can't say as a Jackson Kayak representative that we would warranty a boat that you rolled around with, you know, however much weight or gear and did the boondocks. But I can say that we have played with it on the NAR mounted to the same tracks, and, you know, haven't seen any issues. It's just not something that we can sign off on 100%. Like, hey, if something happened, if you pull your track, like, that's covered under warranty. But it's pretty strong. I'll put it that way. Like, it's pretty stout the way it's mounted in.
Yeah, because the inserts are, like, they can handle.
Well, it's a combination, too, of inserts and bosses. So bosses, inserts, people know, is a brass insert that's molded into the plastic, right? And then you can screw in a quarter 20 or whatever size screw. A boss is like a molded chunk of plastic, basically, that you can then, and it's got usually a pinhole in it, and you tap it with a kind of aggressive, almost like a wood screw type thread. And the bosses actually test stronger with pull strength than a brass insert does. So you got a combination of bosses and inserts, and I don't remember which ones are which, but there's a combination of that going on there, which makes it super strong. But I've seen people store their kayaks on the boondocks landing gear in the middle of the summer in the sun. And so, you know, it just depends on how you're using things a lot of the time, what you can and can get away with and what you can't.
Well, I'm sure it all depends too. You know, kayak anglers don't like to pack light. It's like you need to bring everything, you know. Yep. So if you got your boat fully loaded up with, you know, a lithium battery, a black pack overflowing, and, you know, extra tackle boxes, a paddle. Yep. I mean, it all adds up quick, you know. So
The boat will float it, but getting all that on a concentrated area of screws being screwed into plastic, that can be another story.
Sure.
Yeah, okay. I was gonna say, like, I think in its present state, it'd probably be fine personally, just because I did it to the Kusa FD back in the day, and it was, you know, obviously a lot different than that. I think there's more structural integrity off of those tracks, but I think, to Brian's point, once you start adding, you got a full black pack, you know, you're carrying 6 to 8 rods. You got, you know, plastics in the back. I mean, you're going to put a lot of pressure on that side, so you're probably taking a risk. But that's, you know, that's on you guys. You know,
let's be honest. We've all done that.
I'm not going to say I haven't. I've done it, you know.
I feel pretty confident about it, you know. Yeah, but
it looks good.
From a standpoint of Jackson Kayak, I don't think they're ready to make an official statement as far as warranty situations go.
Be like Jameson said so.
Replacement boats are coming out of Jameson's shack.
I was carrying 800 pounds of corn, taking it to my deer stand in my kayak. Bro, Jameson said it'd be all right.
He said it'd be fine.
Oh, that's great. That's great. It's like, Jameson, after all the replacements, you actually owe us money this month.
Yeah.
No, I typically owe Jackson money. Like, I think I have a revolving credit that I have.
I know how that
goes. It's an interesting industry to be in, for sure.
Totally agree, man. So, obviously, moving back to the rear tank well, we already kind of touched on that at the beginning. Nice, wide open, so we can overload that when we have our landing gear on the
Exactly. that was a big thing, too. So, you guys were talking about the Liska earlier. And real quick, before I get into that, the rod, I talked about the rod management there. The cool thing about those clips is they come with an adapter in this boat, and you could actually mount them to the flat track as they're pictured there, or you could mount them, you can remove that adapter and mount them to the tri-track. So for me, I sit in the high position exclusively, and I like them mounted to the tri-track, which allows me to kind of have my reels right there in that gap between the seat and the floor, and right up my thigh. But if you're sitting in the low position, that can kind of interfere with your paddle stroke a little bit. So being able to move them back to that flat track and get the rod butt kind of behind you seems to be where people like it if they're in the low position in the seat. So that's why there's some versatility there with the adapter, being able to use it to the side of the tri-track or to the top of the flat track. And it gives you those options. And the seat has the new, what we call the easy high-low seat system. It can slide forward and aft. It can go high and low. There's no pins needed. You just lift the front. It can slide right up into the locked kind of high position, lift again in the front. So one hand operation is really smooth and simple, really. But as you move into the tank well, you've got the tri-track that goes across. It both adds structure in. It gives you more mounting options. This is where I actually mount usually my cup holder right there behind me. We got a new accessory called the multi-box that comes with the NAR that mounts right there really nicely. So a lot of options for, again, mounting stuff. A couple of flush mount rod holders, which is pretty standard on most fishing kayaks these days. But the large tank well, again, like everyone loved the CUSA layout back there, being able to put bigger crates, more gear, whatever. And it was kind of perfect timing as we were working on this boat. Here comes Yak Attack with their new 16x16 black pack, which when you put rod holders on the sides, gets even bigger, right? So before, like you guys said, with the CUSA HD, you kind of had to have your crate configured in a certain way. And that was the only way you were going to fit it in there. Because things have just gotten, crates have gotten bigger and rods and all that have gotten bigger. But we wanted to be able to keep access to the inside of the boat, not just for storage, but for rigging. I mean, if you're trying to run wiring, if you're going to run a motor and you're trying to run steering controls and things like that, just having an access point in the stern of the boat. Plus, you can fit some stuff in there. Was kind of the two goals with this. And the Liska had a place to be able to add that round hatch as an accessory, but we wanted this boat to come standard with that, so that you wouldn't have to do any drilling or cutting to be able to access that stern. So that's kind of where that came from. And you can fit, no matter how you have it configured, you can put one of the 16x16 black packs back there with rods all the way around it if you want and still have tons of room.
That's cool. I'm pulling up a picture of the multi-box that you were talking
about.
Yeah,
there you go. Yes.
And it's cool, man. You got tool storage on there, you know, obviously some internal storage, all that good stuff, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, the lid's removable. It can hold, you know, a couple 3700s. There's a bungee that would retain those. But if you want the lid, I use mine kind of as the catch-all. So I actually have mine mounted to my black pack on the sides or on the end of it. And it kind of hangs over in that space on top of that tri-track that was pictured on the boat. But anyway, I use it to keep all my leader material. I keep my wacky rig tool, my scissors, pliers. I'll throw my car keys in there. It's just my catch-all, you know?
Sure.
Works really well and keeps things from floating around loose in my black pack. I can just keep my Plano boxes and bags of plastics back there and not have to dig through stuff.
I like it. That's cool,
man. You got a couple of tracks there on each side, obviously, but we put some cutouts for 1-inch webbing. So, you know, however you want to strap that black pack or crate or gear down back there, you can run bungees or you can run a web, 1-inch webbing, cam straps or whatever, be able to strap stuff down.
Nice. And then obviously you guys got the mount in the back for power pole, motor, things like that. Another access panel to get in the hall for wiring and all that good stuff, man. That's awesome too.
Yep. And then the drag chain has always been something, you know, that came out originally on the CUSA. And it's very, people that river fish a lot are familiar with that. It's a way to slow the boat down and not really much anchor. But we wanted to have that geometry there to be able to run that drag chain. Cause it is a river fishing boat. It is a CUSA and some pad eyes there. And you can use the track to run your line down. So you can have ways to manage anchoring off the stern and off the bow. of course, power pole geometry has become almost a standard now. I think the first boat we ever did it in was the big rig. And we were actually, Hobie came out with an adapter plate the same year, and we molded in the geometry on the back of the big rig the year that that power pole micro came out. So it's kind of been a standard for us to, any fishing boat should have that geometry on the back to be able to add that. But now you've got, you know, torpedo mounts and other motor mounts and things that use that same geometry. So it's kind of, you know, you almost have to have it, really. I mean, just to have the functionality of whatever you want to put there.
Totally agree. That's cool, man. So drag chains always interest me, and I'm this is going to be a little off subject, right? Like, how do you utilize a drag chain? Like, I know you know, moving water slow you down. Are you like adjusting that chain as you're floating along so that way it's making contact with the bottom, or is it just creating a little drag in the water? Like, how do you utilize it? I've asked people this question, and I know it's always different, you know.
The more line you let out, typically the slower or the more of an anchor it's going to act like. So yeah, that's kind of what I do, is I drag it along behind the boat to really just slow the boat down, so I have more time, you know, to work an area. In slower water, it'll stop the boat. It'll completely stop it. But, you know, in any kind of moving water, I don't really want something that's going to like grab and anchor, you know. So having a piece of chain back there, just kind of dragging it, tends to not snag up as easy. So, you know, you're not going to get in a situation where you're anchored in swift current, which is, you know, I never recommend even lowering it down in super swift current. But you get in those eddies and those seams, and being able to drop that and just really hold that boat position, because river fishing, I mean, boat position is so key. Sure. I mean, really any fishing, boat position can be so key. But you know, being able to slow yourself down, sometimes you're in an eddy and it's trying to take you back up river. And so being able to drop that and just work that eddy line all the way back up to the base of a rapid or the base of a ledge, is pretty awesome. And, you know, you can do things to quieten the anchor down or to the chain down. So I wrapped them in duct tape. I wrapped them in bicycle inner tubes. So there's different ways to kind of make it more snag free and more quiet when you're deploying it, for sure.
I dig it, man. It's a question that always comes up, and I figured you were a guy that would have some good insight on it. You know, I think a lot of guys that, you know, are mainly lake fishermen, and then they get into the river fishing, and then they hear about drag chains, but they're like, just not sure, like, how do I do this? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, what we used to do, and I think this is a Drew Gregory thing, actually, you know, I don't know if he...
Who's that guy?
I don't know if he invented it or if he... or what happened there, but the Flexi dog leash thing was something that I know he showed me for the first time, and it was pretty cool. You know, you just take that retractable 16 feet of dog leash, basically, and, you know, you're able to manage your line and lower and raise that that anchor up and out of the water and let it go when you want. And that's really, you're never really doing it in deep water, right? You're just, this is creek fishing. This is small river type fishing techniques here, where you've got, you know, some sandy, rocky bottom. You can't really drop a power pole because it's going to bounce, you know, and make a lot of noise and spook everything. And you don't want to drop that claw anchor because, you know, now you're stuck and you're trying to dig that thing out. So yeah, it's just a really cool way to slow yourself down and cover water, or, you know, make sure you're hitting all those spots.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
That's cool. It's a different beast, man, being in the moving water, and, you know, those little tips and tricks can make or break your day, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
They sure can, can't they, Brian?
I mean, sometimes it's not a good idea
in this.
Let's just say sometimes it's better to walk down the path to get around the dam versus floating through the whitewater park.
Yeah,
I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just going to say this. I love the Liska, but it ain't nothing for the Whitewater Park.
I mean, you may end up walking back to the truck barefooted through gravel. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Well, there's got to be some pictures floating around, right?
Dude, it was so funny. We watched two kids in these. Actually, they were in Jackson's. They were in Whitewater, Jackson. Water,
yeah.
And they just like watched us go by in these fishing kayaks with gear. And they were like, what are they doing?
Yeah.
You know, and I was a little weary, but Brian went all in, and he went really all in.
I think like, it was
he lost his flip-flops.
Yeah. I came down that first drop, and I was like, it wasn't the boat's fault. It was just like I shifted my weight sideways thinking that was the right way to go. And normally you got to go opposite direction. And
It's definitely counterintuitive when you're in current. You lean. Inevitably, your body tells you to lean the wrong direction. It's like, no, you should lean downriver. Like, I don't want to lean downriver. The boat's trying to go that way. Like, I want to, I want to lean the other way.
Yeah. So needless to say, I just kind of like rolled out of the boat. Fun stuff. Good times.
Yeah. It's happened to all of us.
I'm definitely not a whitewater guy. I can tell you that much.
Well, what'd you do, Jay? Just watch and then go around?
I went down first.
He went first.
Yeah.
He watched me roll, and then he was like, I don't think it's a good idea to go the rest way. I'm like, dude, I'm already wet, and I lost my flip-flops. Let's go. Like, how much worse can it get?
Well, I got caught. Like,
nope. Yeah. We're walking up over the dam. We're going.
I got caught in a current, like, right away, and it was the toughest maneuvering I've ever had to do in the fishing kayak. I didn't even know I had muscles in some places, because I was like, I mean, just the pure, like, you just I had to move the kayak or there was going to be trouble. Like, just put it that way
about it. And I've only been in a whitewater kayak probably once now, twice maybe. And your whole body is you're part of that boat. Like, it's so different because you move your hips, like you move your waist. Yeah, the whole thing is just like you're one piece. It's like when you put skis on and you put lock into your skis, like they're now part of your feet, right? Like you're not sitting on the skis, you're connected with them. And in a sit on top, it's not that way. So you don't move, you're not gonna take your hip and move the actual boat. And your paddling becomes such a big deal, and which is where that maneuverability comes in. If you make a paddle stroke and that boat's not going to turn for you, then you're not going to be able to do what you got to do. And the water's going so fast, those decisions have to happen like immediately.
I will say this though, the Liska did quite well at Rock Island. Right off the right, you know, those rapids that are right up there.
It's a great boat, and people. Like Chris, I think, is still like one of his favorite hole shapes is that, just for versatility, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because Dustin went down it and then I went down it. I was a little bit more scared than Dustin, I think, but
he's in the chat. He said, yes, sir, we went all in them.
Yeah, I know. He's like, let's go again. Nope. I was like, nope, I'm good. I did it. I could say I did it. We're good.
Was this at one of the Diller summits?
Yeah. I think it was the last one, but yeah, it was, it was fun over there, but that was kind of sketch. I think the water was just perfect enough to do it. I think if it was any lower, we probably would have had a little bit more problem with like bumping into rocks.
Yeah.
Cause you know, if you haven't been to Rock Island, there's some pretty big boulders, in some choice spots, over there. So it can either be a nice smooth ride or it can be really rough.
The thing about river fishing is low water can actually sometimes you think, well, the rapid's not as big, but now there's obstacles.
It's worse.
See, I picture Dustin Nichols like just hooting and hollering going through that, and Jay just going, Oh my God.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I was censored like that, dude. I was never so tense. It's like, that's when your legs, like you're using the pegs and you're just planted. I mean, you're just like, I mean, everything is just tense and you're like, okay, just keep bottoms got to stay together. Just the bottoms got to stay together.
Dustin says that was my first time in whitewater. Yeah. So I didn't know any better.
He's probably standing up, holding on to the stand assist strap, one hand.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, he's
riding a bull. I mean, he's from Texas.
Yeah, he looked like he knew what he was doing.
Not to people that knew what they were doing, he didn't.
Yeah, I know. I was like, "Woo, I survived. We're good."
Yeah. Moving wire. That's the thing. There's so much, and that's why I got it. I mean, to kind of circle back from all this, it's why I got into kayak fishing in the first place. Was I moved from Florida, where I had a boat, and back home to where I grew up at here in North Carolina, and the boat I had was a little center console, like bay boat, you know. And I'm here in the mountains of North Carolina, and I'm like, that's not really useful anymore. So, I'm trying to figure out how to access the new river and the Yakin River that we have here and a couple other small rivers, because, you know, there's fishing. We would go wade fish it in certain areas where we could access it. And, you know, you catch some really nice fish, some big smallmouth and stuff like that. And it's like, man, you know, here's this shoal on Google Maps that's like you can't get to without floating from here to there because there's no access. And a couple of me and my buddies went and got kayaks. I bought the wrong kayak for what we were doing. I bought an open Commander 120 from Wilderness Systems, which is, for those that don't know that, remember that boat. It was a almost canoe kayak hybrid type boat, you know, very stable, but very open cockpit. Well, multiple trips to the new, when we would hit those whitewater sections, first wave would come in the boat, second wave would come in, and every time the boat's a little lower in the water, you know what I mean? Eventually, I had to put a drain plug in the bottom of my boat so that I could, you know, get the water out of that boat when I would get off the water, because it was too heavy to flip over. And it just wasn't the right boat for moving water and current and rapids. And I saw the Coosa was coming out from a company that made whitewater boats. And so I thought, well, this makes perfect sense. I'm fishing mild whitewater. I'm not out here doing crazy stuff, but I was in water with rapids, and that's where the smallmouth were at. That's where they were spawning. That's where they were feeding before the spawn and after the spawn. And in the fall, when they were feeding up, they were in that swift, highly oxygenated water. Yeah, you can see it's a bathtub.
It looks like a floating bathtub.
Yeah, that's what it was. I mean, great paddling boat, but and stable, but yeah, it just held water when you went through waves. So anyway, that's why what led me to the Coosa was like, I need a better river fishing kayak. So that's kind of what started my journey with Jackson in the first place, was that Coosa. And it's pretty cool now to kind of be here three generations of Coosas later, you know, leading the charge or whatever with the team and the R&D and trying to get all that together and come out with this boat. So pretty cool.
It's super cool, man. Buying one
and end by working on the third one. So
nice. It's a lot of thought, man. Like, you know, when you start looking at all the details that you guys put into this boat, I mean, it's pretty impressive, dude. I'm not going to lie, dude. It's pretty slick, and I love the thought and the ingenuity that went into it and thinking of all the different scenarios that we all use, you know, on the water.
Yeah, I mean, that's the key. I mean, you know, it's, you got to think about it from the whole shape up. A lot of us, you know, as fishermen, we look at the deck layout and how the fishability is and how rigging can be done. And most of us, I would say the vast majority of us, did not come from a kayaking background. You know, we came from a fishing background and we're trying to look for a tool to get us on the water to where the fish are at. So we don't understand, you know, hole shapes and hole designs. But it's so important when it comes to having the right tool, especially for the right type of water that you're going to be fishing. You know, I wouldn't want to take a Kraken 15.5 in some of the rivers that I'm going into, because that's an open water boat, or even the NAR, it's a big, heavy open water boat. But this boat, you know, might not be ideal in super big open water. I mean, it'll get you there. You can do it.
Sure.
But designed for that river fishing person that wants to get in moving water and current, get super shallow, that kind of thing. And so, you know, that's a big, big goal at Jackson, is to really look at it from the hull shape first, and then how do we fit all the features and ask from the team from a deck layout standpoint with that, you know, how do we marry all that together and execute it? So it's a challenge, but I really think we did as good a job as we ever could have on this one. So I'm excited about it.
Nice, dude. And are these shipping now to dealers? Are they available?
Yeah. So as of last week, I think we had about 90 that had went out the factory door. They're showing up at dealers kind of all over in waves as we get more done. And, you know, by Christmas, I'm sure it'll be pretty well stocked at most all the dealers.
Nice. Nice. And what about, I'm trying to pull it up now, color options.
So this year we typically lately when we launch a new kayak, we do a limited edition color just to kind of give people an opportunity to, you know, if they want to get in on the ground floor on a new boat, they can also have a unique color. So we did what we used to call the yellow jacket color, which is,
I'm pulling it up right now.
The black, yellow and white cockpit. So that's the limited edition color. It's only going to be available this year in a limited amount of them will be out there. So it's not a specific number. It's more based on what the dealer's initial orders reflected. So once we get those initial first kind of orders from the dealers in of what they wanted, that'll be the last run we do of those. So,
nice.
And then it's available in the playa when we name
it. Come on, that's playa.
Yeah. I was going to say, when we named that color, it reminded me of a beach in Mexico or in the Caribbean. And so that's where the name playa, you know, it's Spanish for beach. So I was like, cool. Oh, sweet. It never dawned on me that people would, like, not once did I think playa. And until the day the color went public, and all of my team, like when you share the color with the team, they were all like, dude, I love this playa color, you know, and they were talking about playa. I'm like, oh, man.
It comes with fuzzy dice in a gold grill.
If you do playa, I feel like it's got to be like purple and black with some chrome. You know?
Gold hatch.
Actually, I don't want to do it. I want to do like a side by side and be like, this is playa, and this is playa.
See the bling? You see the bling?
And then Dusk is the other one for this year. I think it's Dusk. Yeah. And that's kind of, you know, dark blue and red, reminded me of a, you know, right before sunset when you get that kind of crazy looking sky, is where we came up with that. And then forest camo, everybody loves camo. Forest is always going to be standard color there. So,
I mean, I'm still partial to Black Widow, but
you know, so this year the Dusk color was actually originally, when we talked about colors, was going to be Black Widow. When we looked at the lineup, every single color had black in it. And we thought, what if there's a plastic shortage of black color? Like, we literally couldn't make a fishing kayak this year. So we decided kind of last minute to swap out the black in Black Widow with that dark blue and come up with that Dusk color, just so that we knew we were kind of like, okay, it's a cool color, and that gives us an option that doesn't rely on black pigment or powder to be able to make kayaks this year. So,
yeah, that's a lot of things that are made of plastic use black. You know,
exactly.
That's the most common color. Yeah, for sure.
Well,
the yellow jacket is sharp, dude.
Yeah, the yellow jacket was one of my favorite colors. So my second Jackson kayak, still before I was on the team or anything, was the Cuda, and I got it in the yellow jacket color, and I always loved that color. So, you know, that was kind of a throwback to the old school color waves with that limited run in the yellow jacket.
Nice, dude. Nice. Boom. There you go. The new Jackson Cusa X. I dig it, man. Congrats on the new boat, bro. Well done.
Thank you
and the team, man. That's
yeah, the team did an amazing job from the all the way from ideas to delivery. So it was you know, really cool to see the factory, the R&D team, the fishing team, like everybody kind of come together, and to be somehow in the middle of all that was a cool experience.
I like it. I like it. Have you guys tested this thing in saltwater too?
Yeah, actually. So we took it, oddly enough, we were filming the day the boat launched. The day before that, I finished filming the assets that we needed to launch the boat. So we were like in San Marcos, Texas, filming, and I did some interview stuff, wrapped up some of the B-roll, Dropboxed it to our Will Richardson and our team and marketing team, and they put the final touches on the video stuff and released it. And on that trip, I had to go from there to Houston, Texas, and fish in Freeport. So we actually took it out on the flats and did some red fishing. Nice. In the boat while we were there. And surprisingly, like, it was pretty windy, and that was one of my concerns because the boat is shorter and it is very nimble. And it also is taller in the front. You know, it's got a lot of volume, so it sits high on the water. And those are things that usually you think, you know, the wind's going to blow this thing all over. And it did, compared to a lower profile boat like a Liska or a U-Pick. It did blow it and affect it more. But what I'll say is it got shallower than any of those boats that we had out there. And we were dealing with a situation where the wind was blowing the water off the flat. And okay, we were getting to the point where it was like, you know, we're doing the whole butt scoot thing, trying to get yeah, a boat to like find I just need half inch more water. Come on. And here comes the, you know, Coosa X, and it's just like paddling, floating, you know, goes right nice by us. And so there was definitely times when I was like, man, that actually, for these shallow flats where you're seeing redfish with their backs out of the water, you know, that's a situation where this could potentially be a better platform. And to the point where when we left, Dustin and Michael Forenza, who were with us, I know Michael was like, actually changed his order for 2023 over to the Coosa X so that he can motorize it and use it specifically for that scenario where he was trying to get super shallow.
Nice. Hmm. Nice. Very cool, man. I dig it. I dig it, man. You guys knocked another one out of the park, man. And it's good to see, man. I love it. I love seeing new boats come from all the different manufacturers, you know, and seeing what everybody's doing different and, you know, putting their own new touches on models and good things like that. The queen herself, Miss Wilson, yeah, says, cheers to our Jackson Kayak brand manager of fishing, Jameson Redding. Thank you for all you do.
That's a title right there.
It is a title, right? Yeah.
I'm just saying.
There's a whole lot of vowels in there.
with kind words like that, I think Gene deserves a raise. I'm just going to say that.
Yeah, Gene always deserves more than we can ever give her. That's for sure. She's the heart and soul of the team, and we're proud to have her. I know that. And she actually got to come out and paddle with the very first boat that left the factory, her and Chris Funk and Sheldon and Clay Grace. We all got to meet up and spend some time together on the water, and that's always a blast. But we got her in some sticky situations and some moving water that, you know, she likes her rivers in Florida. They move a little slower. They don't have as many rocks or white water sections, but she handled it like a champ, and she caught some fish and, you know, just had such a positive attitude, even doing some things that I could tell she wasn't quite as comfortable with as some of us were that had done it before, you know. But
sure,
it was a lot of fun.
Sure. That's awesome, man. That's awesome. Guys, gals, go check it out. Go hit up your local Jackson dealer, take it for a demo, take it for a spin. Looking to get a new boat next spring, and you're a river fisherman or, you know, small water, whatever. Obviously, these guys have put it through the test, and, you know, you heard it right here. If there's somebody that's going to use and abuse something, it's probably going to be Jameson. You know,
oh, dude,
he gets around.
Stories about Jameson.
He gets around.
What kind of stories?
Well, I'm just going to stay Idaho and a very long washboard launch.
You know, that's the thing about – I feel like we as kayak anglers, especially us that like to travel to different locations – and I know you do, Jay, and I'm sure you do as well, Brian. But
yeah,
the road getting to, and the real wear and tear on a kayak is not once it's in the water.
Like, nope.
it's getting it to the water or getting it from one destination to the other. And that's where my kayaks take a beating.
I've never seen, that was quite a drag.
Literally.
Yeah,
I thought you were going to reference when we were trying to make it back up that river in Idaho. But
that is all. Is that when? Story.
Is that when Jay almost had a heart attack?
Oh yeah,
I think we both did. I think we had to pull over and take a breather and just be like, "What are we doing with our life?" And
it was so fierce going against that current. I remember Jameson was like, yeah. He's like, all right, man. You know, as I passed him, and I was just like, I'm going to die. You know, it's like, as soon as I got like over that, I pulled over because there's no other way to get up. Because we went down river and we had to go back up, and there was no other way. And as soon as I pulled over immediately, it was just like, I was just like, oh my God. You know, I was like, I'll be 5 seconds. Hold on.
Oh, that's
like, how I felt dragging a deer out of the woods yesterday. I shot a deer yesterday, and about halfway through the process, I'm like, why do I do this to myself?
I know.
Easier to go to the grocery store than to do what I'm doing right now.
Oh, dude. Well, now that I live in Tennessee and I've been hunting, and I'm like, there's this one spot I'm like over 1,000 yards in, and I'm like, if I get one,
I'm gonna
have to drag this thing all the way. Yeah, it's like, yeah, I know. I'm like, I gotta go uphill and then downhill and then uphill one more time. And I'm like, it sucks getting here with all this gear. So this is gonna be awesome taking one out.
Well, that's a couple spots I hunt. I'm like, why do I hunt in like big ravines and river valleys and stuff like that? Like, I'm in the Midwest. There's plenty of flat cornfields around here. Why am I? Why am I in the hills?
Yeah, why can't I hunt somewhere where I can drive right up this deer? Yeah.
Exactly. Like true story. Me and Brian were hunting, and we were out in this area that has like these really bad ravines.
Mississippi River Valley. Yeah.
Yeah, and he's like, I'm pretty sure I heard a buck down there. He's like, but do you want to really drag that thing out of there if we get one? You know, and I was like, no, I don't. Let's go somewhere else. You know?
That's why I respect my buddy, and I'm sure we're over, but this is a fun conversation. My buddy who just went, he's got access to, it's like, I think it's around 4,000 acres, and you got to hike in to a lot of it. And he hiked in with a climbing stand, and he sent me a picture, and he's hiking out with a pretty decent buck, and he's got it caped out. He had the quarters all cut and on the climbing. So he had the head, the cape, all the meat packed down, his backpack and the climbing stand on his back. And he's like hiking out. I'm like, dude, you deserve that deer. that is work and you deserve that deer. You know, and he's like, yeah, there was a bigger buck, but this was my last day to hunt. And this one came out. I'm like, I don't care how big that deer is. Like that, I would have to do what you did to get it. And and you know, I've got a couple of friends like that. Damon Bungard, who used to work at Jackson, lived in Tennessee. He lives in Virginia now, but he used to do that. He'd go in to the canyon and camp overnight and come out with a deer the next day, you know, packed out. And I'm like, man, you guys are earning that.
That's like some of the elk hunters, man. I was watching the Hunting Public guys this fall, and they shot one 12 miles in. And then I think there was like four or five of them. They packed that thing all out.
It'd have to be four or five of us. Somebody's going to have to carry me, first of all. Like, and I've been like sick and under the weather. So like, I guess there's like RSV or some kid thing going around. My kids brought home from school, and like I felt better. I'm like, I want to go hunting, and I kill a deer. I'm halfway out of the woods. I'm like, I'm not better. Like I'm
not
better. Sitting down at my home knees, in bed, crying.
Yeah. Just crying. Like, why?
It like shook everything loose that you thought was like away. It's like,
oh, my buddy texts me. He's like, what are you doing? Are you out night deer hunting? I'm like, no, I'm trying not to die. I've been dragging this deer. And it's not even that far. It's like 100 yards, and I'm still dragging it for like 4 hours
later. Oh, dude, you should see where I'm going these days. It sucks. It's just awful.
I'm like looking at my winch on the truck. I'm like, well, can I get some rope?
Yeah, I know.
Another just winch this thing for a mile. But yeah, anyway.
So. Four-wheeler, just
shoot,
man. Four-wheeler.
Shoot smaller deer, dude.
Yeah. It's not even a big deer. Like it was probably like a 10-pound, 15-pound deer. You know, one of those babies.
Yeah, a little fawn. A little fawn.
Just throw it over your shoulders, man. Just walk on. It's all good.
Still had spots. Jameson's like, there was a big doe. But the one with spots looked a lot lighter.
It's so tender, right, man. You can put the whole thing on the smoker.
Yeah, it fit my backpack. It was perfect.
No, not like that.
Well, it's more tender meat, right?
Yeah. It's the veal.
I
go
for
the.
I want the most meat. And here's the thing. This is where I really am glad that I didn't do this. I don't hunt because I think it's fun. I hunt because I like filling the freezer.
Yep.
And I do enjoy hunting, but I don't. I fish for fun, right? I hunt because I like to get the meat. I like to know where my meat came from. So there's like this level of reward that I feel like comes with having a meal that you worked for and that you know where the meat came from.
Oh,
and my kids get involved with it. So when I go hunting, I go with the mentality of if two deer walk out, then that's one less day I have to go hunting. So,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so I'm sitting there after I shot this first one and I'm waiting. And I saw some on the ridge line. I think they winded me because they blew and were all confused and ran off, but they never looked at me. You know, like you can kind of tell when they're like, you don't know why they're scared, but something spooked them. Could have been the, you know, other dead deer laying there. They were like, yeah, that ain't right. Like he doesn't look okay.
Yeah.
but anyway, so I'm dragging that one out and I'm like, man, I am really glad that another deer did not walk in range because this would have been terrible if I had to do it twice.
You're like, I got to go back.
Coyotes are eating good tonight.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, if that happened after getting the first one in the truck, I probably would have been like, all right, it's
tag it's punched. I'm done.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's my story from cool, yesterday's. Man.
That's cool. Well, congrats on the deer, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, thank you. It's good just to get back in the woods. It's been I missed all the bow season and all the muzzleloading season, so I got to get
you've been a busy man, my friend. You've been
extremely
busy man. I got to chat with you for like 5 minutes at ICAST, and then the rest of the show I just seen you every time I saw you, man. You were busy doing stuff and you know, obviously designing this new bow, getting that ready. Like, I mean, you've been crushing it, dude. So pat yourself on the back, man.
Yeah, I'm just going to enjoy these. I've earned it.
I've earned
it.
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
You know what? Take tomorrow off.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I don't know if that's going to be approved, but yeah.
I mean, aren't you a boss? I mean, just, you know, or.
Yeah, sort of. Something.
Still
I don't know
not feeling
I
good.
I got a long title, though. We established.
Yeah, you do have a long title. Yes.
Yeah. Well, let's bring that back up here one more time. Jackson Kayak, brand manager of fishing, Jameson Redding. You need that on a business card, bro.
I don't think that they make business cards that big.
It's like a bumper sticker at that point.
Yeah, I'm just going to put a QR code and you can scan it.
There you go. Yeah, yeah.
That's cool.
I think the proper way to do it is brand manager, comma fishing or something like that. Fishing, comma, brand, I don't know. You've got to abbreviate.
We'll leave that to someone with a higher pay grade than all three of us.
Right.
Well, my man, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, man. And we appreciate you jumping on tonight and just sharing the word about the new boat from Jackson Kayaks. And guys, gals, if you're in the market, go check it out. Like we said, Jameson said, already getting shipped to dealers. They got quite a few out the door already. And, you know, be ready. It's coming to a store near you. You guys can go to Jackson Kayak. What is it? JacksonKayak/KUSA X. And you guys can check out the boat. Got all the colors, the limited edition yellow jacket coming in at 11.8, 36 inches wide, 425 on the weight capacity. Total weight of the boat is 98 pounds, and that includes everything. I love how manufacturers do, our boat weighs this, and the seat is X amount of pounds.
It's so all over the place. And there's no standard, to be honest with you, in the industry for capacity or any of that. So it's, you know, we know what we do, and we just, you know, put it out there with kind of the maximum amount of stuff that comes with it.
I like it. I like it, man. Mr. Randall, final thoughts?
New boat looks good, man. It's cool. I like my favorite part, and I think you know, it's the rides inside.
Yeah, that's, that seems to be a winner for most.
That's a killer thing. I mean, plus even for just traveling, man, just being able to strap the boat in. I mean, because river fishing, you're usually not taking like a ton of rods anyway. So like four should be enough, I would think, in most situations. And then you could just strap that thing down to the trailer or on top of the car or put it in the back of the truck, whatever, take off.
All right, before we end this show, Chris Funk, Chris Funk has a request. You need to say Jackson Kayak High Low Easy Seat Slider System.
See, he's not got it wrong though. That's not how it actually goes. He's got it.
How's it go?
How's it go?
Jackson Kayak Easy High Low Seat Slider System.
Okay, that's now how
it's supposed to be.
Say it three times fast.
Jackson Kayak. Jackson Kayak Easy High Low Seat Slider System. Jackson Kayak Easy High Low Seat Slider System. There you go.
Take a drink.
So it's funny, if you watch the video, we were trying to do a video on that system. The name is literally longer than the video that it takes to explain what I'm talking about, right? So the first time I said it perfect. And then we came up with this idea. Well, let's do like a blooper reel. Like you're struggling to say the name because it's so long. So then I tried to struggle to like, I tried to make it seem like I messed it up. Like, and it took me half a day to shoot a fake blooper reel. Like trying to say it wrong. I'm like, why is this? And then I couldn't say it right after that. Like it took me a month to get it back right again. I'm that's what, and we had to get Chris to say it in that walkthrough. I think we're just having fun with names over here, really, to be honest with you. Let's just add another line to it.
Hey, man. It's just like the playa. So
the playa, yeah. I'm doing that as a color next year. I think purple, some gold flake.
Dude, some candy paint on it.
I'm telling you, man, it's gold.
All the tracking is gold.
We need the JK logo to have like a spinning, like you can like
spinner in there. Yeah.
Oh, dude, you can like use that old school one, like when he's got like these glasses, got the chain.
Yeah. I think we should do it. I think it's a new color.
Yeah. Oh, and you got like the fingers out, so you could do like a big old ring on there.
Like the Kilroy. You're talking about the Kilroy.
Yeah. Logo. Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah, like the Kilroy.
Yeah.
Kind of take that, dude. Yeah, or like or have like the bar ring. It's like almost like brass knuckles, but it's nice.
Yeah. I'm definitely getting a three-piece purple suit with some black and white shoes to go with this. I think it's the way to go.
You know what? I think it'd be funny if you kind of did like a spoof reel, dude, all dressed up like that. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of cool.
I agree. That's why I'm saying, like, I thought that color was playa, you know? No, it's playa.
I'm telling you, you can get like that.
I just don't know what you can get away with nowadays, you know, like.
Yeah, sure.
Like what you can.
Sure.
But I can think of some pretty funny stuff in my head. I just don't know how everyone
else. Yeah. You're like, I might have to wear a disguise and not be associated with Jackson at the time.
Yeah. If all this could come out, like it would be. Yeah.
I love it. I love it, man. We'll end it on that note. Thanks, everybody that tuned in. We appreciate you guys. We're here every Thursday. Special episode tomorrow night with Romel from Newport Vessels. We're going to talk to the wizard himself about that new NK300. Get the juice on that. And we'll be back the following week with somebody special like Jameson. Maybe not as good looking, but we'll try. We'll try. So until next time, boys and girls, tight lines, smooth paddling. Peace. Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode here on Paddle and Fin. Be sure to drop a 5-star rating, a thumbs up, or smash that subscribe button on any platform you're listening in on. Be sure to check us out on Waypoint TV, waypointtv.com. Make sure you sign up for the Fantasy Kayak Fishing League at paddleandfin.com/fantasy. You could support this show through Patreon, patreon.com/paddleandfin. Don't forget to check out the website, paddleandfin.com. Catch us on YouTube. If you got a question, comment, or want to see a future guest on the show, be sure to email us at paddleandfin@gmail.com. Shout out to our show supporters, Yak Gadget. You can check out all the fine kayak accessories at yakgadget.com. Pelican Professional. For all your cases, coolers, and lighting needs, go to pelican.com. Rocktown Adventures. Your Midwest premier paddle sports destination, go to rocktownadventures.com. Eastport Marina, the beautiful destination on Dale Hollow Lake. If you're looking for lodging, kayaks, kayak accessories, or anything fishing related on the beautiful Dale Hollow Lake, go to eastport.info. And Jigmasters Jigs, when in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com and fill your tackle boxes today.
Brave anglers search for the one they call king, but who will take his throne? Tune in to Waypoint TV's Battle for Silver, Saturday, May 18th from 12 to 6 p.m. Eastern, presented by Abyss Battery. Waypoint TV. Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue, brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors. Every Monday night from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.